Living in a remote Pakistani village, Nawaz had just completed the 10th grade when his father told him that he couldn't afford to pay for any further education. Distraught, Nawaz remembered the words of a teacher who had encouraged him to never give up on his future. And so Nawaz moved to the city to get a job where he could save some money and pay for his education. He was sad and lonely in the city, but he was able to find a job as a waiter in a small restaurant and slowly began saving a little bit of money. He worked at night and on the weekends while going to school on weekdays. One day, a stranger came into the restaurant and asked him about his life. And after watching Nawaz work and talking to him a little bit, the man offered to pay for his education so that he could quit his job and focus on his studies. Now, of course, Nawaz was a little bit suspicious. What did the man want in return? Nawaz had been warned about people taking advantage of naive villagers in the city. Was the man trying to trap Nawaz into something illegal? But the man reassured Nawaz that he practiced zakat, an obligation in Islam to give back to charitable causes as a form of worship, and that he really wanted nothing in return. And so after researching some more about the man and the practice of zakat, Nawaz accepted his offer, and the man became like a big brother to him. And indeed, he never asked for anything in return. Now today, Nawaz has a master's degree in mathematics and a good job. He uses a portion of his salary to support the education of two others from his home village, in addition to being a volunteer tutor for other village children. Nawaz writes, "I'll always remember Big Brother and what he did for me. I remember his happy smile when I told him how his legacy lives on as I support two students. I'm proud of that. It makes me happy internally. If you help others, you will be the happiest person in the world. Happiness doesn't come from your bank account. If you have what you need, if you are stable, I believe we should help others. If each person helped another in this world, then this world would be full of happiness." Nawaz is someone who I would say is living in generosity, both as a recipient of generosity and as one who gives to others. And when I read his story, it seemed to me to embody the three prayers that Anne Lamott calls essential prayers that we've been talking about: wow, thanks, and help. Wow, of course, as we've talked about, asks us to slow down, to notice and appreciate the amazing world around us. It opens us to something bigger than ourselves, to more fully knowing the presence of God. And I read Nawaz's story and thought, wow, the kindness and love in that story is amazing and uplifting. Thanks is also a prayer of opening. It opens us to joy as we put more of our focus on the blessings of life. And thanks and wow nurture each other. When we're in awe, we're inspired to thankfulness. And when we practice giving thanks, we're more likely to stop and notice all of the awesome things that God has given us. And Nawaz was so thankful for the generosity that he received that he paid it forward, showing his gratitude by being generous in his own giving. And the story made me feel grateful that there are such generously loving and helpful people in the world. And like the other two prayers, I think help is also a prayer of opening. Now, when we buy into our culture's false ideology of independence, that ideology that tells us if we're really worth something, we'd make it through life on our own, raising ourselves up by our own bootstraps, so to speak. But when we buy into that, we close ourselves off from each other. We start to build walls. That kind of thinking makes us ashamed to ask for help. We begin to believe that seeking help makes us weak. But God did not create humans to stand alone. We are created to be in community, to support each other. We're in reality highly interdependent with each other and with creation. Now, Nawaz wasn't specifically asking for help, but he visualized what he needed and he wanted, which to me is actually a kind of prayer. And then he started working toward it, working toward his education the best he knew how. And most importantly, probably when help presented itself, he was open to receiving it. Asking for and accepting help opens our hearts and gives God and others permission to be involved in our lives. It can lead to meaningful experiences and strengthen relationships with friends, as well as people we don't know, as it did in Noah's life. In a way, this opening of our hearts might be considered a kind of generous hospitality, a welcoming of others into our lives. Help as a prayer frees us from having to do life alone. It reaches out and invites in. And Jesus tells us that God wants to help us. He says, ask and keep asking, and we will receive. Be persistent and we'll find what we need. When we have a goal, a desire, a need, we don't just ask once and forget about it. We visualize it, make it a priority. We work toward it. We ask for help. Seek and keep seeking, and you will find. And Jesus says that God isn't going to give us trouble when we're in need, just as a parent would not give their child a stone when they ask for something to eat. Sometimes people claim that God gives us tough times to help us grow. But I think these words of Jesus kind of refute that idea. God doesn't lead us into struggles. Struggles happen because that's life. But God will help us through our struggles. When the struggle happens, God will help us find ways to grow. When we are hungry, God will help us find bread. Now, on the other hand, being human, sometimes we ask for a stone when we really need bread. So what we find when we ask for help might not always be exactly what we want. Maybe, though, it'll be what we need. If we ask for stones and snakes, we shouldn't be surprised if God leads us to bread and fish. Maybe the question is whether we'll recognize that the bread and the fish are the answers to our prayer, or will we continue to ask for stones and snakes? Now, because they teach us to notice our blessings, I think cultivating wow and thanks in our lives might help us slow down and recognize the help we need when it arrives. More often than not, God works in our lives through other people. God might want to use someone to help us, but they can't do that unless we are open to receiving that help, unless we're willing to make ourselves a little bit vulnerable. And when we open ourselves in that way, we're honoring our interdependence. We're telling the other person that we need them. And people want to be needed. Research shows that people want to make a difference in others' lives. Helping others makes us feel good, even happy. It comes down to the golden rule. Jesus says, therefore, treat others as you would have them treat you. This is the whole meaning of the law and the prophets. In other words, everything God would have us do boils down to treating others with respect, helping them and supporting them, loving our neighbor. And this, I believe, is God's vision for the world, that all of God's children, all of God's creation, live in generosity, live in mutual support, helping and loving each other. This is the way of life in God's kingdom. Now, in the church calendar today, the Sunday before Advent is what is sometimes called either Christ the King Sunday or the Reign of Christ Sunday. I kind of prefer the second designation, first because of the patriarchal overtones of king. But I also like the idea of celebrating the reign of Christ, because it kind of shifts the emphasis from celebrating Jesus as an individual, which I'm not sure that he ever really asks us to do, to celebrating what Jesus was trying to build, his mission and his purpose in the world. Jesus was born as God's gift to lead us to the kingdom, to lead us to God's way of love and hope, peace and justice. And as followers of Jesus, we're asked to continue the work that he started, to help those in need, to heal the afflicted, to live in generosity, loving our neighbors. This is also the vision put forth by the prophet Isaiah, who understands the world as a place where we're meant to share our food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. In helping others, we not only work toward their healing, but we heal ourselves as well as we walk God's way of love. We can't build a relationship with God if we ignore the suffering in the world. All of our religious practices, Isaiah tells us, don't mean anything if they're not connected with an act of love for others. Which means we're not only encouraged to ask for help when we need it, but we're asked to be the answer to that very same prayer for others, to pay it forward, as Noah did by helping the children of his village. When we offer ourselves as God's hands and feet in the world, as God's light in the darkness, we harmonize ourselves with the divine intention, connecting with God through our love and compassion. By living in generosity, we come to know the truth that God is within us, guiding us, giving us strength, helping us help others, creating a world of happiness. May it be so. Amen.